Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. A number of years ago, I talked to a guy who told me he didn't come to church because he was exhausted after a long week. And in a church in which I served in Portland, Oregon, I had another guy who came to church every week, even though he was equally exhausted. And when he came, he, however, always slept through my sermons. And what was worse, he snored through my sermons. That wasn't the most encouraging thing, don't you know? But I was thinking, was it better for the guy to stay home who was exhausted, or to come to church when he was exhausted? And I guess my philosophy is that you should come to church no matter what, because if you come to church, you're exhausted. And if you don't leave enlightened, at least you'll leave refreshed. There was a pastor who was trying to encourage people to come to church, and so he came up with something that you probably heard before. It's called No Excuse Sunday. And he said this. He sent this letter to his membership, and he said, "Cots will be placed in all the foyer, in the foyer, for those who say, 'Sunday is my only day to sleep in.' Murine will be available for those with tired eyes from watching television too late on Saturday night. We'll have steel helmets for those who say the roof will cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be provided for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think it's too hot. Hearing aids will be provided for those who say the pastor speaks too softly, and cotton for those who say he preaches too loudly. Scorecards will be available to those who want to list all the hypocrites present. For those who wish to spend time with their family on Sunday, we assure you that your father will be in attendance. There will be TV dinners for those who cannot go to church and cook dinner also. One session will be devoted to trees and grass for those who seek God only in nature. Finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them." I've heard of all the excuses that people have for not coming to church, and some of those excuses are definitely legitimate. Obviously, in these days, there are some who are concerned about their health, and so they don't want to be exposed to people because of the fear of catching the virus, and so they legitimately would stay home because of that. And I've heard many excuses. There have been times in my life when I've had a number of excuses for not coming to church, times that I've just felt totally exhausted. I remember one time going through a rough patch many years ago. It was a time where it wasn't something that was, as a result of a tragedy or something like that, just kind of the general heaviness of life. And I still felt run down. I felt that I was totally exhausted. I didn't even feel like coming to church. I didn't feel like doing much of anything except just taking a nap. I resonate with what our psalm today says, Psalm 142. So if you get out your bulletins and turn to Psalm 142, I think that's on page 4. David writes these words in Psalm 142, verse 1. He says, "I cry to the Lord with my voice. To the Lord I make loud supplication. I pour out before him my complaint and tell him all my trouble." That described me. I was complaining and whining all the time. And that was even before I told the Lord all my troubles and complained about all the things that were bothering me. Verse 3 says, "When my spirit languishes or grows faint within me, you know my path," or you watch over my way. I can easily forget that God knows what I'm going through. God knows the suffering that I'm enduring at that time, the weariness, the tiredness that I have. God knows those things. He is aware of the spiritual, emotional, and physical difficulties that I may be facing. It goes on to say, "In the way wherein I walk, people have hidden a trap for me." It seemed at that time that everybody was against me, that nobody really was on my side. That wasn't really the case, but it just kind of seemed like that. And so it really kind of drained me emotionally. Verse 4 says, "I look to my right hand and find no one who knows me, no one who is concerned for me. I have no refuge, no one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, I have no place to flee, and no one cares for me. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like nobody cares for me? Everything's going wrong. There's nothing going right in my life. Everything is falling apart. Nobody cares about me. And we know that that's not true. But sometimes when we get to feeling that way, we isolate ourselves even farther from people so that they have no chance to care for us. But sometimes we can get to that place where we just feel like nobody really cares at all. We kind of feel like that old spiritual. We want to say, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. You know, we can get to that point where we just feel so sorry for ourselves that we don't think anybody cares. David writes in verse 5, I cry out to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. What David here is doing here is he is affirming his belief in God. He's affirming what he believes about God. He's affirming the God in whom he is trusting, and he's doing that to God as a part of his prayer. Sometimes when we get in difficult situations, it might be helpful for us to remind ourselves of the God that we believe in, the God that we worship. Who is that God? Is that God someone who can help us in our situation? And if so, do we confess that belief in God to God in prayer? Kind of like a positive confession about our faith in God as we're praying to God. Verse 6 says, listen to my cry for help, for I have been brought very low. I'm in desperate need. Save me, rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Whether it is a problem with someone or a problem in the situation we're going through at this time, it's real easy to get the feeling that we just don't have the strength to go on. We don't have the strength to overcome what we're facing. We just can't handle it anymore. The final verse we read today says, bring me out of prison, set me free from my prison, in other words, that I may give thanks and praise your name when you have dealt bountifully with me. Sometimes we forget to give thanks to God when we are delivered from our present situation, from our present difficulty. We forget to thank him for his deliverance. And so it's important for us to remember that there are times we need to remember how God has set us free from things in the past. Sometimes we also try to bargain with God, or we try to make a deal with God or bribe God. We say, if you'll get me through this situation, or if you'll help me out of this particular problem I'm having, then I'll go to church, or maybe I'll serve on a committee, or maybe I'll give more money to the church. All of those things really are seeking to bribe God in a sense, but God doesn't want us to bribe him. He wants us to trust in him. God is someone who really wants us to look to him for all that we need in our lives. If it's pleasing for God to deliver us from our particular problems or situation, then it's important for us to give thanks to him and praise his name to others so that they too may understand that there is a God who has helped us in our situation. David goes on to say, the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. I've seen this exemplified this past week when Chuck Parmalee, who many of you know, had quadruple bypass, and I somehow got included in a text thread that was going from church member to church member to him. Those texts were texts containing good wishes, prayers for healing, hope for him, and just reminded me that he was surrounded by the righteous, albeit in a virtual way. And so many times we don't realize that we are surrounded by the righteous if we avail ourselves to them. Many times our fellow Christians, when they're aware or sensitive to our needs, will come to our aid and be available for us to help in our time of need. The power of the body of Christ is when people are aware of our situation, they can come and give aid to us in ways that we might never have thought before. This rough patch to which I referred earlier that I went through in my life was something which one night I just really prayed and cried out to God, telling him of what my weariness. My prayer went something like this. I'm going to need you to help me through this because I'm so tired emotionally, physically, and spiritually. In the past, my prayer would have just ended there. But I wanted to go beyond that and connect with God in a way to remind myself that God was aware of my situation And God also was someone who I could trust because he was very intentional about the things that he does and about the things that he allows me to go through. So I prayed, God, please show me your character in this. Use these things to bow my heart toward you and your purpose for my life. Now, my prayers didn't make any real changes in the situation immediately. There was nothing that really changed about my circumstances overnight. But God began to help me to see the wonder of who he is and help me to realize that he was walking with me through this difficult time in my life. He also brought me some much-needed support from some Christians at that time. And it just reminded me that God was able to give me the ability to worship even during this challenging time in my life. I learned 5 ways that can help us to worship even when we don't feel like it, even when we're weary, even when we're worn out. The first thing is to remember. Call to mind the things that God has done for us in the past, maybe times in which he's gotten us through things that we didn't think we'd be able to endure. Also, look at Scripture. Read Scripture and see how God has helped others in their times of need throughout the ages. Another thing to do as we seek to try to worship when we're exhausted is to praise. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise him that even though you may not feel his presence, praise him because you realize that he is there with you. Why do you know that? Because he promised to be with you. Third is look. Whenever I feel overwhelmed, I try to zoom in on something that's kind of small, that's an indication that God is at work in my life or the life of someone else or at work around me. It can be as simple as something as a sunset, reminding me of the creativity of God. It can be as easy as a smile of someone, reminding me of the gift of community that God has given us. It can be something like the smell of food cooking in the oven, reminding me that God provides for my daily needs. All of these things, as I look around and see God at work in various ways around, can be a help to me during my time of weariness. The fourth thing is to record. Write things down in maybe a prayer journal. Write down your concerns. Write down what's bothering you. Write down what you're struggling with. And then make a note of when God happens to deliver you from those things, when you get past that particular thing. And that way, when you go through troubles in the future, you can look back on what you have written and realize that God helped you through in the past, so he can help you through that situation in the present. And fifth, share with others. Tell of God's faithfulness to other people. When someone asks you how you're doing, don't sugarcoat it. Don't say, oh, I'm doing just great, thank you very much. Share with them the struggles that you're having, but at the same time also be quick to share God's design details with you that you've been collecting. Not only can that encourage the struggler, but it can also encourage us and give us a new resolve as we hear ourselves share those things out loud. Sometimes when we share our struggles with others, they might say or do something that can help us have a new attitude that can help us in worship. Some of you may know the name Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a great reformer back in the 16th century, and he was the one after whom, of course, the Lutheran Church is named. He was a great saint, a great Christian, and yet you may not know that he struggled with depression. He had a hard time with depression, and it quite often was debilitating for him. One day his wife had seen him moping around and being rather gloomy, and so she came downstairs dressed in all black. And he said, what are you doing? And she says, I'm getting ready for a funeral. And he said, well, who died? And she said, God died. He said, what are you talking about, woman? And she said, well, the way you've been moping around and looking so gloomy, it appears that you think that God is dead. Well, sometimes that saying something like that can help a person out of their doldrums, and that's what happened to Luther. That lifted him up out of his depression, and he was able to move on from there. Sometimes it's helpful for us to have friends around who can encourage us, who can give us that word that can get us out of the mire that we're in. Do we act as though God is dead? when it comes to our decision about whether to worship or not. I'm not a master of weathering difficult days, and in fact, I'm far from it. But at the end of the day, though, Christ is my reward, knowing that I'm able to worship in my weariness. I wonder about you. How do you seek God when you're weary? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have reminded us in our first lesson today the importance of worship. You reminded us in the psalm that there are many obstacles that get in the way of worship. There are many things that can keep us from worshiping. And yet you've given us the promise that you're there with us and that you have the power for us to overcome even our weakness in worship. Lord, would you inspire us to a new level of worship of you? Would you give us the strength each day to worship? Would you motivate us to long to be together with other Christians to worship on a regular basis? And as we do so, Lord, may we be drawn closer to you so that others might know of your power and your glory as we share that with them. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.